I'm good. I'll try to do the documents that you need up, so.
It's wonderful. Thank you, Ted.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll begin. So welcome to the town council meeting Thursday, April 6th. It's kind of a big agenda, but some things have been postponed. So I put times by the side of these. I was going to put it out there for all of you. So I'm going to see how good I did. Because that we talked about doing that maybe in the future and giving public comments 3 minutes, something like that. So anyway, let's all stand and take off your hats. We'll say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's one of okay, we're going to go ahead and approve the agenda. I think we tried to put everything. Okay. Jessica and I got everything in order, unless somebody wants to.
Okay, so if we approve the agenda, can we right now take the ones that we're not going to address off?
We can just postpone them.
Or when we come to it, we just postpone.
Yeah, we can just postpone.
Okay, I have one more thing. Can we put Randy's complaint letter and the Tree City complaint letter together and then just put the A1 tree invoice either before or after?
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
Take 12 and 14 combined.
Yeah, or put them right after each other and then 13 either before or after.
So you want number 13 to actually be 14 and move Tree City
yeah,
after.
Yeah. I think that'll just be more efficient.
Okay, that works for me. Is everybody good with that?
Yep.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to pass the approved agenda.
I'll second.
Gladys?
Okay, all in favor?
Yes, Gladys.
Okay. Steve?
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. The March 3rd minutes, we are going to postpone until next month in May. Jessica was on vacation and there was a miscommunication between her and Lexi. Lexi went ahead and had a baby. So,
how dare she?
Anyway, we're going to postpone them till next. And then, right now, we will begin with the public comments.
I'm going to step away from my chairman position, step over there so I can speak as an actual, not chairman person, but
citizen.
A citizen. Thank you. All right. To the town of Boulder, I'd like to address the two accusations against me. First, the conflict of interest complaint filed by Mr. Josh Ellis. This complaint is not only untruthful and deceiving, it is also harassment and slanderous to an appointed official, to my family, and to Boulder Farmstead. I've always disclosed that I work for Boulder Farmstead as a state-certified operator. Point of the matter is that the town ordinance and state code dictates where the fire hydrants are installed. I do not own Boulder Farmstead. I do not own a share in Boulder Farmstead. Boulder Farmstead contracts out subdivision fire hydrants and main lines, both installed by a licensed certified contractor, after being approved by Boulder Farmstead Water Company's engineers, DEQ, and the Division of Drinking Water. Boulder Farmstead does receive $50 a year per fire hydrant for maintenance from the town. Let me repeat that. Boulder Farmstead receives $50 a year, not me. I called Ashley Carter, the executive director of the Ethics Commission, and asked her of the so-called felonious activities and fines and how this is the best case that she's ever seen, according to Mr. Ellis. Not only was I lied to, so was the town by Mr. Ellis. Ashley never said that there was felonious activities or fines that was supposed to have happened. Ashley stated that I needed to make sure that I disclosed that I worked for Boulder Farmstead. Ashley also stated that she never told Mr. Ellis it was the best case that she had ever seen because she didn't like seeing cases at all, period. Here's Ashley Carter's phone number and email address for you if you would like to find out. Please don't take my word for her. Call her up. I can give you her phone number after the meeting. The next thing that needs to happen is Mr. Ellis needs to publicly apologize to the town and to myself for the lying and harassment. He also needs to quit signing his personal documents as, quote, assistant fire chief, which is in conflict with the town's fire ordinances. If this happens, then no further actions will be taken. Second is the Tree City complaint. When I was appointed on the town council, the mayor appointed me over the town streets, fire hydrants, dumpsters, and dump. The entire job of the town council is health, safety, and welfare of this community. Two trees that were removed from the dumpster areas were hazardous trees. And the town council approved the removal of the worst tree, but not the second one. Of that tree, that was a misunderstanding by A1 Tree Services and myself. They never had the authorization to remove the second tree. The damaged tree had been a hazard since Steve Cox was the mayor and was told about it on several occasions by Conrad Jepson, former town council member. That tree was a hazard for the dumpsters and fire hydrants. So it was the responsibility of the town to make sure it was safe for the public, and I was appointed to make sure it was taken care of. The Bird Trail trees. The trees on the Bird Trail are still a hazard after the tree committee made the complaint to stop the trimming. The Bird Trail's blind hill has been a hazard listed in our general plan for years. And the trees that were to be trimmed pushes all the semi-trucks, cattle trucks, school buses, as well as all other vehicles and pedestrian activity into the other lane on a blind hill. Why is the town required to get permission to trim the hazardous trees? The tree committee had not fulfilled the requirements of the tree ordinance by not supplying a road management plan for the community. Who's responsible for the trees in front of the stop sign by the post office? Who's responsible for the trees growing through the sign of 240 West Highway 12 street sign? Why does the town council have to ask to keep our roads safe? Who is responsible for the safety of the roads and the tree committee? Is it the tree committee or the town council? Town council is held responsible for any safety issues that occur on town easements, right-of-ways, and roads. In my own personal opinion, the tree ordinance needs to be revisioned for further the best interest and safety of the community. So after I wrote this, I pulled up the complaint of the violation against the Tree City, or the Tree City has on me. They have in here every part of the Tree City ordinance in here, 92-02, 92-04, ordinance administration, 92-06, street tree maintenance and care by citizens, 99, general penalty, which I'm really surprised and I'm kind of quite taken back by, 92-05 was not put in the thing. And I wonder why. It says 92-05, street tree maintenance and care by the town. Standards. The town should make responsible efforts to maintain all trees located within the town streets, parks, right-of-ways, landscaping borders, or on town maintained property. B. The town tree planting and maintenance. The town shall have the right to plant, prune, maintain, and remove streets, trees located within the public right-of-way. Period. Tree replacement. The town may replace street trees which have died or been removed for any reason, or plant additional street trees deemed appropriate and consistent with available resources. D, tree topping. It shall be unlawful as a normal practice for any person or firm to top any street, tree, park, tree, or any other tree on public property excepting of easements controlled by local utility companies. Trees damaged by storms or other causes, or certain trees under utility wires or other obstructions where other pruning practices are impractical, may be exempt from this chapter at the determination of the town council. E. Town authority. The town may condemn and remove or order to be removed any tree or tree stump upon any of the publicly owned property within the town where the same is dead, diseased, or for any other whatsoever deemed undesirable or unsafe by the tree board. So, according to this, from what I can see, there should not be even a complaint of violation because I didn't cut down the trees as a citizen of Boulder. I got the trees cut down as a town councilman cared for by the town. So the whole complaint and violation of the tree ordinance, in my own opinion, is a joke. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Public comments in here? Anybody on the screen peg have their hand up? I keep saying I'm going to bring my glasses for far away.
I don't see any hands raised or any indication of Zoom people wanting to comment.
Okay. All right. In that case, we are going to move on to the next item on the agenda. We want to recognize, I read these, I read Brandy's today, I read Peg's earlier, but we have three different people that we do want to recognize. And Debbie Stout has been doing our weather for 30 years. I had no idea. It blew me away. I read the whole thing. It's pretty cool. We want to congratulate Debbie Stout for her 30 years of dedicated service in taking and reporting our weather to the National Weather Service. She was awarded the John Campanius Home Award, which is a pretty prestigious award. Yeah. And if you read the whole article, it was pretty cool. So that's really something to be proud of. And then the tree board, this is their 10th year. We're recognizing the tree board for their 10th year of Boulder being named a tree city. And it's been fun because I've been driving down the roads and seen all of you out there trimming trees along the park. And I wanted to join you I think it was last summer, and then something came up. I can't remember what it was at the last minute, and I couldn't, but I'm not going to give up. Anyway, Constance and Pam Burgess have been the leaders of that effort. So we want to congratulate you on that. We want to recognize Ron Johnson and Brandy Hardman and Boulder Mountain Guest Grants, who have received the annual Conservation Achievement Award. The award has to do with improving the sustainability of natural ecosystems and agriculture. I read that whole article. That was a good article. They really do a lot of stuff down there. I'd love to read all this stuff longer, but if I do that, we will have to bring our pajamas and a sleeping bag. So we want to thank you and recognize what you've done. It's absolutely amazing. All right. Next is the Ethic Ordinance Review. And Lee Nellis has joined us tonight. I've asked him to give us an overview of the council has. We've sent everything out to the council, so the council has read everything on this presentation that Lee Nellis, he put a lot of time in this, and I really appreciate it, Lee. So I'm going to turn it over to him and let him give us an overview. We're strictly discussing again tonight because we want to get a handle on what we want to do. Do we want to go further? So go ahead, Lee.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to begin by acknowledging how stressful this is for everybody there. Say that I tried to take into account in suggesting something to you that this is a difficult set of issues. And the work that I did was motivated by one main thought, which is that if everybody will take a deep breath and step back from the immediate and particular issues and talk about ethical responsibility, that discussion may clear the air. It will at least show everyone that these questions are taken seriously, and perhaps lead to some healing of the issues, which have become, as we've all heard, quite conflictual. So what I propose to you is essentially just a policy statement. It is not an ordinance. It is not enforceable at law, although I think that you as the council could enforce these standards on your appointed boards if you chose to do so. I have kept it as consistent with Utah law as I could. Utah law is not either clear or tremendously helpful in certain cases, but I have done everything I could to keep this consistent with what the law says. There are some things that it doesn't say that may be more problematic. What it boils down to is that the public expects, and public trust in the process of governing demands, that people be aware of these issues. And I think, and the statute says, quite explicitly, that filing a disclosure form once a year is insufficient, that you guys need to come up with a procedure. Probably, I think, when you agree upon your agenda, although there are other ways you could do it, you need to come up with a procedure in which anybody who needs to disclose a potential conflict, and remember, One of the key things that you got to remember here is that you never determine whether there's a conflict of interest. That happens under state law. It would happen if there is a complaint submitted to the Political Subdivisions Ethics Review Commission. All you're ever determining is whether there is a potential conflict. And that's a little looser standard, and one that observing will help, I think, with trust issues. The law identifies several types of conflict of interest, which I listed for you in the menu. I'm not going to run through that list now. There's no need to make this a longer presentation than it is. What I've given you is a policy statement that you could adopt, obviously, with whatever changes seem right. That would show the public that the council is motivated by these issues, is willing to discuss them. Some of them are easier to deal with than others. There's no way to avoid ex parte communication in Boulder. We all know that. But if your wife or your brother is applying for a permit, you should probably assume that the public assumes that they have access to you that the public doesn't, and recuse yourself if you can. And I went through the things you need to do. The annual disclosure forms that you're doing now are a good practice. The statute requires, and I think common sense requires, that there be an opportunity for disclosure before decisions. I threw in things about accepting gifts, personal use of assets, things like that, trying to make a comprehensive ethics policy that would, as simply and shortly, as briefly as possible, say, hey, here's what we're going to do. And that includes training sessions, it includes making the people that you appoint or employ sign on to the ethics. And really, you've all read it. It's not that long, it's not that complex. I think at this point, my time and your time both are better spent with me attempting to answer any questions than continuing to rattle on here.
Okay, Lee, I have a question. Do you want to explain ex parte communication?
Okay, I will do my best. The idea of ex parte communication is that someone has a decision maker's ear in a way that the general public does not. Okay, so like I said, if your wife or your brother is applying for a conditional use, well, of course, conditional use permits go to the Planning Commission, not council, but say that they're bidding on a job with the town or applying for a subdivision that the council would have to approve. Everyone is going to assume that they have more influence on you than an ordinary member of the public. And that's an ex parte communication, is when a certain person has excessive influence compared with other people. We try to level the playing field, as we should in local government. It's impossible to avoid ex parte communications, even in much larger communities than Boulder. But I think you have to talk about it and say, okay, if we've got a quorum, then the person whose relative or business associate is applying needs to recuse themselves. It just creates a sense of trust with the public that you're paying attention to ethics. You obviously aren't going to refuse to talk to your brother, or your wife, or a close associate. Asking that's just silly. So you disclose it and say, hey, we had these conversations. Everyone knows, or everyone at least assumes we had these conversations. And since there's a quorum that can act on this without me, I'm going to recuse myself. If there's not going to be a quorum, then you ask the rest of the council whether they think the ex parte communication, and this would apply to a conflict of interest or other ethical questions as well. You ask the rest of the council if they're comfortable with you voting. And there's a motion and a vote. And if they say, we think that having disclosed the interest clearly right here in this meeting, we're comfortable with this person voting. Then you've done all you can do, right? And so that's how you handle these issues. If you can make a decision, if you have a quorum without a person who has a potential issue, then, you know, that person needs to take the clue and recuse themselves. And that will be a mark of the council listening, a mark of the council having respect for everybody's concerns and considerations, and still allow you to do business.
All right, so in going through this proposed Boulder Town ethics policy, it appears, I mean, we file the annual the conflict of interest. We also go online and we take the conflict of interest course that's online every year. And when a new comes in or someone's appointed, they also have to do that as soon as they fill the position. So as far as that part goes, I don't see anything different in that. As far as I can see, a lot of this stuff really does fall into what the state requires. You've explained that pretty good. Do you see anything in here that you've outlined that the state doesn't have?
No, these are all based on a combination of state law and common sense. You know, I've been listening to town councils do this for 49 years. And I think I've heard, I probably haven't heard it all, but I think I have. The thing that you are not doing right now that I think you need to do is relatively simple and relatively clear. And it's in the state law, which is that, yes, you've done your annual disclosure. Yes, you've done your training. When there's a specific potential conflict of interest, it needs to be disclosed right then and there. If the town has taken bids for who knows what, it doesn't matter, but for something, and you are a business partner with somebody who's bidding, you say, look, I have a conflict. And if you can, you recuse yourself. And that needs to go on. It's easier with the Planning Commission business because they have a public hearing for every major decision. And so at the beginning of a public hearing, they ask for conflicts and disclosures and they can proceed. The council's business is way more diverse. You guys do, as this agenda tonight proves, a whole bunch of different things. That's your job. But I would say, at least, I think that the best first thing to talk about among yourselves is, okay, when we do the agenda, which you're going to do at every regular meeting, the mayor should just say, hey, is there anybody who has a potential conflict here? And can we do business without that person when we come to that agenda item? I think that alone would go a really long way to addressing the questions that are being posed.
Okay, because we talked about doing that. So we could put that on our agenda for every month and have it. Right, I think it should go above approve the agenda. That way,
the agenda gets covered.
Yeah. So we definitely will do that. Make sure that we make that statement. But as I was looking at this, it seemed to me like most of this stuff was covered in the state. And
you're already doing some of this stuff and. Obviously, I just picked that up and carried it through. And, you know, things like not divulging confidential information, that's a part of the law. That's a pretty important responsibility you have. It's not one that's going to come into play very often. Really, from a town council point of view, when that would be relevant mostly is when you're dealing with employees. and for instance, employees' health, things like that are confidential. You've got to honor that. The gifts, I think it's obvious. If somebody gives you a box of chocolates and you put it on the counter at town hall to share, that is not a problem. Once you get up to gifts that go to individuals, state law says that's a problem. None of this is difficult to understand. None of it is particularly difficult to do. You just have to be aware of it. And I think that, some of the other issues that you guys are dealing with may run down the side obliquely of ethics issues. You've got some communications issues, as I see it at least, that need to be addressed, but they don't need to be addressed in an ethics forum.
Well, what about you guys? Do you have any questions, comments? How do you feel about this? Do you want to work on a policy, or where most of that's covered? If we do this and make sure that we, before every meeting, that we cover the ethics part of it and ask if anybody needs to be recused for anything on the agenda.
I think that's fine. And then to me, if anybody in the audience says, oops, I think you should excuse yourself, I think they have the right to say that too.
Okay. All right. Well, you did a good job, Lee. Thank you. And it helps when you talk it out and explain it like that too.
Right. No, we have to go through these things more than once, me as well as you, to make sure that we understand. But, you guys have had some controversy. It's uncomfortable. The best way to deal with that type of discomfort is to bring everything out in the open and say, okay, we hear you. This is what we're going to do. Some people may think it's enough. Others may not think it's enough. You got to do what you're comfortable doing and go from there.
Okay. Thank you, Lee.
Sure. I will depart if there are no other questions for me.
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. You bet. Thank you all.
Well, this was a discussion about an ordinance, and since we're not putting an ordinance in place, and I think we could make a motion to stay with the state law and make sure that we include this ethics phrase before every meeting. I'll have Jessica put it on the top underneath, approve or above, approve the agenda. And that way we'll make sure that it gets done every month.
Do you want me to second that? You're going to make it the motion, or you want me to make the motion?
You make the motion.
I want to make the motion, whatever the mayor said.
With the extra.
Yes.
That we will.
As part of our regular agenda.
Okay.
Not adopt the policy. Not adopt the policy
because everything in the policy basically says what the
state why we're doing this.
So, all right.
Except you haven't been doing that up to now.
Well, we're going to start doing that at the beginning of every agenda. We'll make sure that we put that out there, that if somebody needs to recuse themselves, and remind everybody. After looking at the agenda tonight, I'm recusing myself when we come to Randy's letter because I'm his aunt. And okay. So Gladys is taking that over. So we're getting better at this, Josh. Don't give up.
Super appreciate the amount of time you put into this, for sure.
We'll get it. So all in favor of keeping. Okay. Oh, we didn't do that. That's right. She said, should I second? Okay. Steve second. Gladys made the motion. Steve second. All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. All right. Purchasing policy. Did you get something up there? No. Okay. Jess is going to give us an overview of the purchasing policy. She's been on vacation. We've been giving her a little bit of a break. She's done a good job. She's had her hands full, and now we're at the first quarter, and there's a lot going on in the first quarter as she's finding out. So we'll have her review that next month. But basically, there is a clause in there that talks about anything over $1,000 that we have to get bids on. And Gladys would like to see that raised because all the prices have gone up. So what do you have in mind?
I'm suggesting 5,000. If somebody else has different ideas, but I'm sorry, you just can't get anybody to even come in. We have a hard enough time getting bids on things. You know what I mean? I'm saying 5,000. You know, if somebody has different ideas, that's okay.
I was thinking 3, because it was 1,000.
I thought it was 1,500. That's okay.
Yeah, so I thought maybe 3,000. What do you think?
So that's if anything costs over 3,000, we have to get in the second.
Then you have to get a bid.
We have to get a bid. Yeah.
I'm saying
More than one bid.
Well, don't you have to advertise? You have to advertise it.
Right.
Yeah, we have to advertise. And it's at least 2. We have to have at least 2 bids.
The problem is lots of times we don't even get.
Well, if we can't get somebody else, then, okay. then we're with the one bid, you know, but that's what we're required to try and get. So, and how many times have we run into that situation? Quite a few. So how do you feel about 3 or 5? I think 3 is.
Yeah. I think 5, just for the fact that we have to get everybody to travel here. The travel plan alone, the gas, everything like that adds up really, really fast if you start going.
What about you, Steve?
No experience with this bidding process. I don't have a good feel that I'm happy to go along with the 5. I mean, things have gone up
quite a bit.
All right. Let's see how it goes. I mean,
we can always change it.
I'm trying to think, other than the trees, we haven't really bought anything. Well, we got all the stuff that was on the CARES package, but we've got to be able to do a few things. Everything's roads right now, and repair and stuff like that is what we've done. So, all right.
Do you want me to make a motion then? I make a motion that we raise our purchasing policy to 5,000. Let's try it for that for a year.
Anything over 5,000.
Yeah, we need to put out bids.
I'll second.
And if we feel like that's too much, why then we could decrease it. But I just can't think of anything that we would be bidding on that anybody be interested in for less than the.
Well, even getting the lights done is going to cost us a couple of grand if they ever are able to get out here. So
yeah, so they never.
Who seconded? Okay, all in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes.
Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Motion carried. Okay, so a raise 5,000 for the new bids. Okay, and so Jessica will give us the presentation on it. And she's smiling. All right, next on the agenda. All right, zoning administrator updates.
All right, I have 2 updates, or I guess, Jimmy, I'm still waiting for the survey.
I called them this morning and see if they got it. He didn't go back to me the right name. So,
okay. And then the Planning Commission next week will have a CUP for Guest Ranch Headwaters. They previously didn't have one. It was a clerical error. And so they're just complying with our CUP application. And so I don't see it being a problem. That's our upcoming business.
Okay, so, and I'm not picking at them, but whatever there's a their criteria, whatever they have, it meets the criteria of what we call a guest ranch, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Their application's complete.
Okay.
And they're not building anything new, or everything's existing.
Okay.
What it is. The error was it just got data applied for it when they originally did it.
Because it was kind of that anyway.
So we're just making sure everything's legal and everything like that. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, April. Wow, you guys, we're moving on longer. That's really great. Okay.
You're gonna drink something.
No, I'm not. Okay. The Hughes Gearling subdivision is postponed till we got an email and they would like it postponed. I can't remember if they said next month.
They didn't know for sure. They said May or June.
Well, they'll leave us back.
Oh, okay. Okay, June. Okay. All right, very good. So we will postpone that till June. That'll kind of help everything too. So we're waiting on Jones and the Mill paperwork on the road. That'll work out good. Okay. Now Jim's going to give us a presentation on the Boulder pedestrian path. I'm really excited about it. Everybody I've talked to has been pretty excited.
Peg should be able to pull this up. Peg, can you help me pull it up?
Mm-hmm. Or not.
Yeah.
All right. Middle of February, I went up to Salt Lake to see if I could get some grants for Boulder. One for the Burt Trail to repair the intersection coming off of Highway 12 and the Burt Trail. We were put off on that grant until next year, but then I also put in for an ADA pathway that goes all the way from the pavilion in the park all the way down and meets onto the Burt Trail itself. It's going to be a red concrete 8-foot wide pathway that goes all the way down, so that way we can actually start having our senior citizens or anybody else that has any kinds of problems or any kind of a disability, anything like that, they have a place to actually go.
Wheelchairs.
Strollers, bicycles. It'll be wide enough for 2 bicycles. The grant was for, I do believe, $684,000. We have to pay 6.7% of the whole and whole entire total cost of it, which comes out to $38,000, something like that. So as you can see, the red line, it follows the normal path that comes down right now, cuts down, cuts across, and it comes all the way down, straight down Highway 12. And then it has it going all the way around to the government grounds, which is not right. It stops right there at the Burt Trail. There'll be a bike ramp on each side of the Burt Trail, so that way there won't be any curb, anything like that you have to worry about. All the way from where the lodge's property starts, where the fire hydrant sits now, it'll be curb and gutter coming all the way down. So it'll actually collect all of the road water coming down. It'll dump it into the drain ditch that's right there at the Burt Trail Road and Highway 12. There's a huge culvert that's right there, right behind the stop sign.
Oh.
So it'll take all that water and completely quit washing out the lodge. It'll quit washing out the Burt Trail Grill, the trading post, and it'll take everything and actually start draining up properly. So this is one of the things. When I went up there and talked to him, we were 7th on the list out of, I think, 11 people that were putting in for the money. And when I told him that we didn't have a single piece of concrete for any ADA approved anything, they moved us from 7th on the list to 2nd on the list, and we can actually start building in 2025 if this is if we want to actually go through the whole with the thing on this. So there's the price of everything. It's $39,000 in 2026, so it'll be actually a little bit less than that. It'll probably be, I think, 37.5 is what they predicted by 2025.
Okay, so their predictions are for 2025.
Correct, yeah.
So right now in 2023.
Yeah. In 2023, the price that we'd have to pay would be the $35,000. The 2026 is the $39,000.
Yeah, they figured in inflation on that. So.
And who did this money come through? The community? It's the
joint committee out of UDOT.
UDOT
and the state highway. They want to see anything, any kind of improvements that come in for ADA approval. That was the whole entire workshop that we went up to for the thing was just for the ADA grants and fundings for it.
I think this is such a cool thing.
So do we need to make an approval to go ahead with it? Is that
this was what so I just wanted to make sure everybody from the community and everybody saw this in its entirety. Okay. So they can have a chance to go over it. If anybody has any questions about it, anything like that, they can get back with us to figure out right there. Well, Peg, will you scroll back down? There was one place in there that says that it is 84 feet wide, which is it's a typo in there. It's 8 foot feet, it's 8 foot wide. Yeah, right there, the row width in feet, 84 feet wide. That's supposed to be just 8 foot wide. But yeah, it comes all the way down from the pavilion and matches it and comes right back into the bird trail. I think it'll help handle all of the erosions happening right there in front of the lodge and coming all the way down, comes across Highway 12, the safety for all of the pedestrians walking by. I mean, there will be no more wondering where the pathway is. There'll be no more trying to fill in potholes in the bottom of the trail down at the very bottom of it. So I think it's a good step. They asked me if this is the only thing that we'd like to see. And they, the one guy from the joint committee asked me if we could actually, he goes, where's your school located at? And I told him, well, it's located just down from the park. He says, well, why don't you guys, I'd love to see you guys come back in and see if you can get more funding money for running the sidewalk from the pavilion down to your school. And then from the pavilion up in front of the town hall and up to the museum. And then come back down and actually tie it all back in. He goes, if you guys would do something like that to make it to where you're safe for everything, he goes, we'd approve whatever money you guys needed. So that was just.
I think we talked about something like that.
Yeah, it's a dream. I think it's a good start for Boulder.
Yeah.
It's a good place to get our kids off the road for one.
And we have the money in the capital projects fund. We're in pretty good shape with that.
So if anybody has any questions about this, go ahead, feel free to email me about if you have any questions or concerns or.
And then we'll put it on the agenda next month and we'll do a public hearing and then we'll vote on it then.
We get our funding for the money in September if we decide to do this. We have to do, we have to tell the state yes or no, because if we tell them no, they'll just take our money and give it to somebody else.
Yeah. Okay.
Any questions out there? Sam?
Have they considered the existing trail? Good enough to use as a base without having to replace all that material in there?
They're not going to replace it. They'll come in and fill in all the stuff on the drop sides, and they'll keep the bases down there because it's a solid part. That's what Jones and Mill was telling me.
Okay.
Yeah. The part of the most expensive part of it is, believe it or not, was the sidewalk itself and then the dye to get it red. So it wasn't just a big old giant gray sidewalk.
But don't let them make it red.
It's good.
Yeah, make it
a fuchsia.
I remember what they called it. Because I've seen the red they use in some of that. It's like your shirt. And you don't want that.
I think it's.
So make sure you get that dye.
Just like
sand rock, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the red that they use, like in design.
Yes.
Yeah. And you were muted.
Yeah. Make sure on that.
I just want to say thanks for going up and getting that, because that's a massive project and that's exciting. Man,
he scrambled. We had 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
I got notified of the funding money.
Yeah.
I think it was like the 6th of February, and I was in Salt Lake on Valentine's Day doing the meeting with the joint committee.
And kudos to Jones and the Mill, because they put the whole thing together. It was awesome. And they got it all together. I was like, wow. Anyway, so I think this is kind of exciting. So nobody have any questions? Anybody online have questions out there in the Zoom world? See anybody, Peg?
I'm not seeing any questions.
Okay.
Thanks, Peg.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that's great. All right, let's move on. Committee review and discussion. Gladys wanted to run through our committees. She had some questions.
Okay, first of all, I'm sorry. I'm not real electronically savvy. You're going to have to look at my little papers, and I'm sorry for you online. I'll try to talk quite loud. And part of this was to get clear in my own mind. Okay, so I went through, I looked up, okay, what is a board? What is a committee? What is a council? And all this. And so I tried to go through our committees and try to put them in different categories and say, okay, this is what, this is how this is governed and so forth. But let me, so let me just start. Maybe if you have questions at the end, then tell me, or if you need corrections, please. Okay. First of all, I put, we have the Planning Commission and the Board of Adjustments. Okay. These two boards are both appointed by the mayor and then approved by the town council. There are also term limits on these two. I think, is it 5 year? And they kind of alternate. Okay. Now, we also have a library board and an arts council, but this is nothing to do with the town board. We allow them to use our facilities for the benefit of the community. Okay. Then I went through, okay, what are the other committees you have? Okay, so I went through, we have a, and I'm trying to call these committees instead of boards, because apparently a board tends to be more like the governing, you know, board, kind of you're elected. Okay, so we have the park committee, 5 members on that. Those, we don't appoint those, do we?
No.
We there's a town board member over each one of these. But basically, these are, quote, committees. Basically, they're volunteers, anybody we can get to be on them. So I'm assuming we have 5 members on the park committee. Within that park committee, to me, they can have all the people they want to be their advisors. The town council, I'd like us to see that, okay, on these committees, we have a certain, we sort of have like a governing board, so we know who comes and answers to us or who we have questions. We have the cemetery committee. There's 5 people on that. Again, they're we don't appoint them. The balance of volunteers. The tree committee, I'm not sure on that. I'd like some input. I'd like maybe for it to be, you have 5 members who are the committee, and you can have anybody who's willing to help on anything else. Fire mitigation committee, that's the one that Judith Guile is over. I'm not sure whether that is going, is a town appointed committee.
It's not.
Or if they're just.
Yeah.
Do run, and
she is. She's representing Boulder on the 5 counties for the emergency. It all has to do, the wildfire part, all has to do with the emergency, what's it called, emergency.
Yeah. Interface, okay.
Yeah.
I assume there's 5 members on that, and do we have somebody on the town board who is, quote, a liaison, or did Judith Guile just come to us as she, quote, the liaison?
Oh, did she? She appointed you.
Yeah, I've been talking
to her. Okay. Right, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Maybe that's a committee we want to form. I don't know. Okay. The other, I wondered, okay, do we want a fire department committee?
Yes.
And I'm just trying to say, so then we have sort of a line of command. So the fire department, okay, you have, basically we've kind of just talked to the fire chief and we have the town council person over. Do we want a committee? So then the fire department, okay, the committee's in charge. You have as many of these advisory people as you want, but that committee makes the decisions and then they come to the town board and say, okay, this is what we want. Okay,
so you just want
I think it just stick with your fire chief, and
so basically the fire chief is the committee.
Right, he is the person in charge of the fire department. So
okay.
And then everybody else on the fire department is reports to him, correct?
Yeah. Okay. But each of these has a town council person who is associated with it, So then that town council person then comes and presents to the rest of us, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's what.
Okay. Do you have comments or questions? Okay.
So yeah. All these committees have to report to the town council. They can't make decisions on their own without the approval of the town council.
Yes, and I think ultimately that's what I want to come to. So we make sure that all the committees are following the same governing guidelines, and we all know what they are. And ultimately, the reason why is because the governing board, who's the town council, if you don't like what they're doing, you, the next time election comes, sorry, I'm not voting for you. I don't like the decisions you're making.
Oh, right.
If you're on a committee and you're not appointed, I don't like the decisions you're making. Tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what I'm trying to get the intent to. You know what I mean? And also, so so the town council has a specific person they know. Okay, so not anybody can come and say, okay, I want this done at the park. Sorry. Are you is the park committee said you're representing them and you want to come to the town council and have us approve something? We need to, as a town council, I think we need to know, okay, who has the authority from that committee to come and ask us for things? Okay, that's all I have. I hope if you have comments or that, or you say, hey, I don't like that idea, or we need to change that, please come down. And I'm going to work on getting slides and slideshows out.
I like your papers.
Okay, so the park committee, Tina Carlson is the chair. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, she's not in. Who's the chair now?
There is not a chair.
There isn't a chair.
In our next meeting, we'll take care of that. And
okay.
Replace Tina.
Okay.
And an alternate.
Okay. So, all right. So let me just direction that and we'll take care of that. And it doesn't have to all be done tonight. We're just kind of taking a look at the committee to see what.
That's right. Yeah, this is just out for discussion.
Constance is the president of the tree board, correct? Okay, so she is the one in charge, right? Secretary?
Correct.
Okay, let's put that down. Because I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is showing, and I got this. Who did I get this from? This was when I was on the town council, I think. So it shows you, Dan, Pam, secretary. You're the vice president?
Right.
Okay. And then Bryn, are all the rest of these people on the Tree Cities? No, Bryn Brody? Okay. Heather? Judith Guile? Jane Phillips? Tessa Barkin? What did she say? No? Okay. Bill Muse. Yeah, I have all these on here. I got Jennifer. Tina Carlson. Hamrix. Peter Benson. Okay. You know it's on there twice. Okay, so we're looking at 1, 2, 3. Oh, and Steve, that's who we're missing. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then does that make them five?
It makes them 1, 2, 3. Did I? Oh, I missed Constant. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
We're in the situation that Gladys described perfectly. We collect people.
Well, how lucky. Send some over to, let's see, the cemetery committee.
Gladys, can I ask a question, Gladys? This is Peg. I was talking to Pam last week related to Tree City stuff, and they actually have questions about, you know, because they are a committee, a town appointed committee, they and the park committee. She was asking about what kind of compliance is required with Open Meetings Act, because if you read Open Meetings Law, any of these kind of bodies kind of fall under that. So we didn't come to any kind of conclusion, but I think It was brought up that Tree City and probably the park committee too, I don't know, has to write an annual report and submit it, and maybe any kind of vote they take that results in action or expenditure of funds needs to be reported in minutes perhaps that are posted. We're kind of unclear about what to do, but there's certainly some need to post notice of meetings that they're going to have. The public should be allowed to attend a meeting, even if they're not on the committee. And then there has to be some kind of recording of decisions that are made beyond just probably what is given by the liaison. I don't know, that it's kind of a question, nothing, something more for you to ponder, I guess.
Excellent, because I think you're right. Now, the question we come back to, do people on these committees, do they have to follow the ethics? Do they fall under that criteria?
Yes, according to what Lee just presented, yes.
Yeah, do we need to then be providing ethics training to them?
Yes.
On a basis?
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like, yes. Any appointees or employees beyond the elected officials, yes.
Okay, so maybe that's something we need
to tree in the park.
And the cemetery too, yeah. I mean, yeah, so part of this discussion is I want us to continue. So we need to make sure that we people within these committees are aware of what the rules they need to be following, the minutes they need to be taking, and that. Yeah.
All right. So we would say definitely the annual report, definitely the minutes.
And making sure that the public is aware of meetings that they're allowed to come to. Yeah.
All right. What else? When somebody said something.
Jennifer said something, but I didn't hear.
Expenditures.
Oh, yeah, expenditure.
Yeah. And I think that would probably be in with the annual report, say expenditures and
that. So if you're just a volunteer, did we make a distinction between committee versus the volunteer? We said we collecting, I'm happy to take off, I'm happy to be just like, I am just actually a volunteer. And
I think
that'd be a subject. We don't need to have all volunteers do it, just a formal committee. And did you want to say that was a maximum of five?
So then maybe that's the reason we want to have a number.
And that's what else. So
3 to 5, you want an uneven number, you know, for voting, but I don't know.
The other part of this too is I am going to ask, I need to set like a date because I need to give people some time to do this. But if we can get every committee, and then if that committee can tell me who is their appointed people, like if you already have them in place, then just let me know who's on your actual committee right now. And then when we're writing out what they're required to do, like the annual reports, the minutes, part of that is that if your appointed people change at any time, then to notify the town. The volunteer people, if they change and go, that doesn't matter. It's just your appointed people. And I think the biggest thing for that is that thing, right? Say you have 10 people and you know, he just wants to come talk to one person or five of you. That's okay. There's five. But then we want to make sure that we have it on record. We're like, oh, we know exactly who. We have contact information for them. That way, too, if someone comes to the town and they're like, hey, I want to talk to the tree city or I want to talk to the park board, we can be like, here's your information. Here's who you talk to. So if I can collect that, I think that's what else I'll start doing is getting together the committees that we have.
Yeah, we just started to get you started.
Yeah,
we shall have.
And then we'll check in with all the committees and boards and see if we can get that from everyone just to stay on top of this. And then we will. At some point, you'll have to say exactly what they're required to do.
What about term limits on the committees?
Well,
if you have five people that are they going to stay on there 15 years on the same committee?
I have feelings one way or another. I've said, okay, let's have term limits. The truth of the matter is sometimes it's hard to get anybody to even volunteer. So we don't want to have, you know what I mean? Now, definitely on these that we appoint, firm limits, you know what I mean? But the rest of these, we really haven't appointed them. So I guess at this point, I don't know about having term limits.
Park committee has term limits, correct?
Yes, it's been agreed, but it's not been presented yet. But yes, it's what we're looking at.
I don't know. No, I'm having a hard time keeping them on the cemetery.
And the thing about it, because it's such a volunteer situation, and I'm with you, you know, I'm the appointed part, I think it's really important. I don't know that.
Well, that's something we can think about when we.
Yeah, we can do that. And well, when we come up with exactly what we want to do, we can do that.
So. Yeah, I think Sam has one.
Sam.
I kind of wanted to know what the duties and the parameters are of these committees. One of the things that the reason I bring this up is because when I was originally put on the park committee, I've never been off of it for 8 or 10 years. I don't know how long I've been there. But I will be off as we're doing term limits.
No, we haven't said that. Yeah, for Shannon.
Here's the reason I'm asking is because we originally had the park committee appointed, Bill Hughes appointed the park committee, okay? And then they had a subcommittee, which was a tree committee. The tree committee had to come to the park committee and get their approval of what they were doing in the park. So that's why I'd like to know what the parameters is of the tree committee and the park committee. What's the duties of the park committee?
Okay.
Because I don't know now. It used to be that they came to us and they said, well, we want to plant a bunch of trees over here. And we'd say, yeah, that sounds great or whatever. But now they just, I don't know what they do.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. Definitions on all of these. So you know what it is that you're over and what you're supposed to be doing. Okay.
I have a question. So what you're talking about, I'm not sure, sincerity, you're not going to have everybody do an ethics thing, right? The spokesperson for that committee should be the only one talking to the guy. The committee already decided what they need and what and all that stuff. So they come to one of you guys, so they're the only ones, right?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know whether, do you want everybody who is, quote, officially appointed to the committee, the five, and that's why I'm saying the five members.
Make a chairman of it, and then it's less people and less confusion.
But ethics deals with everybody. It deals within your committee. So.
Same thing.
Well, maybe there's something we need to have some discussion on and check to see. No. We're just talking and discussing. Okay.
Getting these notes down. Look at Jeff. It is so nice to have a color. And I'm not saying anything against Judy. She did it for 55 years. And kudos, and she did such an amazing job. Such an amazing job. But it's been a little hairy the last year. So I'm just glad we got, and she's young. You guys, she's young.
So
she said she wasn't staying for 55.
Yeah, I'm definitely not.
Yeah. Okay.
Judy also keeps using excuses. Like she's like, I'm not so my brain.
We hope we agenda down the line, start, you know, get this taken care of with the committees. And so Jeff, what we'll probably do is let you get your thing done. See who's on the committees. And if you guys have any ideas or any input, let Jessica know, and or who's in charge, you know, who you report to, like Steve with the park committee, you know.
Should we say something like all of this can be re-talked about in like June to give everyone time to get back to the board so that all the decisions are made? I mean, even further, whatever you guys want to decide.
Yeah, I don't think it's a rush, you know, June.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next on the agenda is Randy's letter. I recused myself because I'm the aunt, and Gladys volunteered to address the situation.
Okay, and again, I'm sorry. If most important thing is I want us to come together and go forward. Okay, so I'm not going to read the letter. That's not against anybody. That's not saying I don't like what you had to say or anything. I'm saying, okay, I want these letters posted on the website. Yeah. And it's okay if you don't know how to get on the website. Jessica's supposed to put it up somewhere so I know how to get on there. And so that way, everything is available to the public. So you can see.
Text 20 where it is right now.
Well,
it's
I don't.
On the agenda, right next to Randy's name, and you just click on it.
Okay, well, I don't even know. I can't. I used to know how to get on to find what the minutes and that.
Yeah.
We got to do some more training, but that's okay. But okay, so I want, or even forward from now, I don't want us to spend a whole lot of time in town board meetings having, I don't dislike discussions, but I don't want it to go on and on. I want it to be available to the public. Okay, you guys can get on there. You can read the letters. Town board, it's your responsibility to get on those letters beforehand. And then you know what it is you got to decide. So that being said, town board members, I want you to read the letters we've had from all sides on this issue. And I guess we're talking about the tree issue right now. Okay, then I want you to go through the ordinance, looking at those letters and saying, okay, were we in compliance? In my opinion, were we not in compliance? And I have to tell you, I've argued this side so many days, this side so many days. I do not have a right or wrong conclusion. But that's how the lawyers take the big bucks, is because one side argues this, the other side argues this. Or judge, he's got to decide what it is. I think the town board, I think we have to go through that and say, okay, was the intent of this? This is what I think the intent was. Did we follow it? Did we not? And this applies to all committees. I don't want it to just be perceived as a tree committee. I think we need, and here again, I got to do some more research and figure things out because I'm not sure. What does the park committee have directions like the tree committee does? The cemetery committee definitely doesn't. So I want us all following the same criteria. And then town board, okay, we come to the meeting. This is my opinion. Or if we're really having a problem, then we say to the attorney, Mr. Attorney, what is right and what isn't. There's a few things on the tree committee's thing I think we need to have clarified. So we all know what it means. Everybody, you know what I mean? I think the attorney needs to look that over, clarify it. There's a couple of places, but we can do that for the next meeting. Okay. Because there's a couple of things I think can be read either way. You know what I mean? And then we say, okay, did we follow the ordinance or did we not? And that's what we have to decide. Public, you're welcome to call any town board member and you say, hey, no, I want you to look at this perspective. Or if you want to write anything, and it will be posted on the website. But ultimately, it's the town board has to decide, okay, whether you followed it or whether you didn't.
No, amen.
And if you don't like the decisions we make, next election, you don't vote for us.
You run yourself.
That's probably the best thing. But I just don't want anybody to think their voices and their opinion is not being heard, because it is. And I'm sorry, I don't have answers. Do you agree, Taylor? I think Jessica pulled up the, if you don't have the full ordinance. But I also want us to find out about these other committees, what we have on them, so we can address that.
Gladys?
Yes.
So the town council, I don't really understand what's going on. If they all voted, what Jimmy was talking about, two trees or something that were cut, hey, they can't go after just one of you because the council all voted on it, right?
Yeah. Or like, and this is maybe getting beyond, this is what Gladys has to say. Gladys, don't you remember, even in, I don't remember whether it was in December or so, you guys, you told Jimmy, you put him over the roads. You know what I mean? Is he over the roads safe? And here's the fine line, okay? Are the roads over Jimmy as the roads, or are the trees along the side of the road, are they over the tree? That's something I want cleared up, because it's confusing. But the town did tell Jimmy to take care of it. Even though now we're saying, no, the mayor should have been over it. Well, maybe she is, but we as the town board said, okay, Jimmy, you're over the roads. You need to take care of those trees.
But can I ask you something else? Doesn't, if the tree's going to fall, because I heard you talk about it, you've been bugging that tree for a long time. And then went to the tree committee and said, if this does fall, and it's going to cost thousands of dollars, takes water under there. There's no, how do you make a choice on that?
That's
public safety should run over anything, right? Because if I have a vehicle that I hit on the road, I don't want it to go through a whole committee to fix something that could be very dangerous. I don't know.
Well, this is where we need to make sure on these committees that we say, okay, we need to be talking to one person, maybe. We need to know what, and the ordinance also, we need to clarify on that ordinance, because it's kind of a fine line. You know what I mean? And here again,
some things that we have.
It's not really. If you look at the 92-05, right there says street care, street tree maintenance, and care by the town standards. The town should make reasonable efforts to maintain all trees located within the town streets, parks, right-of-ways, landscaping borders around town, maintain property, and also town tree and planning and maintenance. The town shall have the right to plant, prune, maintain, and remove street trees located within the public right-of-way, period.
Okay,
there
so
is no
that, so that that's what I will, at the, our next meeting, I want each of the town board members say, okay, I've looked over this ordinance, because even though I said I've read the tree city ordinance, sure I have, but I hadn't gone over it with a fine-tooth comb. You know what I mean? Probably every ordinance is the very same way. So I want us at either the next meeting, when we have a full quorum so we can make a decision, we decide that. And if we have to, if we say, hey, I think we maybe need to check with our attorney and see, is this what that says? Is that what it, is this the way we're interpreting it? Are we interpreting it right? Okay.
That's why I was saying we need a parameter, because I don't think that the tree committee can have anything outside the park. I don't think that you guys are the governing body and they're a committee. So you're the governing body, you're over that committee. They are supposed to come to you.
And maybe we failed in our...
But the one up here by the dumpsters, I guess that's the one that got cut down. They should have cut that down years ago. But that's not in the tree committee's parameters. It's inside the town parameters.
Well, that's probably the whole thing that we're having. We need to make sure that it's clear in what is in our ordinances for everybody.
And it's not just this ordinance.
No, I want to make sure
if
there's anything in any of these.
Going through some of our ordinances to try to bring it together to where, like, our side of our roads being 18 feet in some places and 20 feet in another place. They're trying to bring everything together. And I think that's a good idea. Go ahead, Dan.
Just a brief comment, because I don't want to get into all that. I mean, all of us need to go through all of those ordinances, in a lot of detail. But there's a little misconception. Nobody on the tree committee thinks the tree committee has any power over the town council. We are an advisory board. Period. We provide advice, you take it or you don't. It is your decision. It's not our decision. No one on our committee thinks we have that kind of power. And that's just not the way it is.
Then where did my complaint, the violation of the complaint letter come from?
And like I say, that applies
that's a legit question.
The way all of these are all advisory. Yeah. Okay.
And I think too, just to add to that, for the sense of the town, also just because a couple of the questions that were just asked, it's not as easy because you have to get online and get onto the ordinances. But the same thing when you have the questions, like you just stated, Sam, like I didn't think the tree committee was over anything but the park. And if we get through the ordinances and read them, they lay out what people are in charge of and what they're not. So I think that as a town, as a committee, we all need to. But if you have questions, like so much of it is written in the ordinances as it is. I mean, right here in the very first thing, it says that they're over within the community, public places within the town. So I think, too, so much of this is actually answered in the ordinances, and we do just everyone needs to dive into the ordinances who has questions and concerns about it to go over all of the ordinances because they are public and online. And if you can't get online, I'm happy to print them off for anyone. You're welcome. I know it's hard. It's hard for me too. I'm learning.
Okay. So we will address that in June.
Yeah,
we're gonna be very diligent.
In May.
June. Yeah. Oh, well, the Tree City. Well, yeah, those are two separate
things. Yeah.
The committees and the boards of what Gladys talked about first with her really beautiful slideshow over there.
That's June.
And then the Tree City complaint, the reason why it's not being addressed today is because Elizabeth isn't here for a quorum. So is that just until May when Elizabeth is back?
Correct.
Okay. Mayor, we have a
so this was literally just on the letter, and so Gladys wants us to read the letter, read the ordinance, find out did we take those letters and say did we do this, did we do that, and we'll have that.
Yeah.
So that one, sorry, Andy.
So does this means now that no more trees will be trimmed on Bird Trail and the safety hazard still there until you guys get to figure it out?
No.
Or the trees going to be trimmed?
Well, hope if we can get somebody in here to trim them. And that's something we'll address, Randy, because they have to be trimmed. Those trees have to be.
They're a hazard.
Yeah, they are. So that's something that you guys have got to look at, right? Because it's got to be addressed, especially there's two trees right there and some sticking out in the road. So
according to 92-05, that's not for them.
That's not the tree committee.
That's responsible to the town council.
All right. Well, we will.
9205.
Oh, your own ordinance.
We can make sure that you read all the way down to
E. Yeah, we'll get it all the way down. All right. Well, we will, Randy. I promise you. I'm going to take care of that.
Yeah.
One more. Kidding.
Just a suggestion too is if we have, you know, the problem that I'm looking at right now is coming to people one-on-one. Why don't they have a thing that you have to go through, like a three steps? That's what they do in court. You have to see if you can get the two grievances together and see if they can talk it out. And because I hate people just going, oh, lawyer, you know. And then you don't cause conflict in our community. But who wants to serve on the town council if they're going to be taken down personally, individually, when the whole council is united and we know they're united? But just to point somebody out, that's not right either. So if we have a grievance step, the simple 1-3, try to talk it out first, then have some sharing of ordinances, of understanding, and then the next one or something, then nobody's going through not being neighbors and working and living here in Boulder.
Well, and I agree to a certain extent, but still that's what the ordinances are all about. So we've got to make sure that they line up totally.
Yeah.
And there are some problems in the pre-ordinance that does need to be adjusted.
Yes.
So we've got to do that.
Yes, I assume that's what we'll do as part of the next meeting. Yeah.
So All right. We will address that next month. We'll go through the letters, we'll go through the ordinance and see what is in there. And also, if there are things that we think don't line up with each other, and we will have to make a recommendation and send it to the Planning Commission in their change. So, all right, moving on. All right, we are to Tina Carlson and Todd Campbell in the Rocket. No? What did I mean? Oh, A1 sorry.
We pushed it.
We put it around. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so the A1 tree invoices. They're on the back. They're on the very back that I gave you. We got them adjusted. Oh, and Randy, I have your paper. Is that Randy's?
Yep.
Okay, this is your copy for the one tree. Okay. We got them to change the invoices.
You know, man.
Anyway, it's just in the back, probably. I have so many places to do those. There it is. So I spoke with Catherine Smith, and I also spoke with Nicole, and they both feel where they weren't notified that they're not paying for the trees being trimmed. So where we took the responsibility and did that, the town needs to take the responsibility and make sure that the invoice is paid. And that invoice comes to $1,600. That's both the Bertrail Grill and Catherine Smith. The other one is for both trees and the trimming over at the dumpster. And that one is $2,800, and the total between both of them is $4,400. And then Boulder Farmstead is paying the $150 of the little tree up on the corner, up there on the BLT. So the tree committee did this in good faith, and I feel like the town needs to get this in place.
I make a motion that we pay the invoices.
I second.
But can I just,
to discuss.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Okay. No. Motion is set. Okay. Okay. Now can I, okay. Because we really weren't aware that we needed to notify private property owners in advance. Just didn't even think about that. That's why I say we need to pay that. I also think it's our responsibility to pay this up here. But going forward, the public needs to be aware if you have trees that are
out in the street, you're responsible.
Yeah, same as I think if your tree's in your neighbor's yard, you're responsible.
But we go back to the 92-05.
The ordinance of 92-05.
It states that if it's in the road, we trim it.
It's even a personal property. So that's why the ordinance if you,
that's what I'm trying to say, 92-05, but that's why it was a little bit.
Okay, I missed that.
I don't know.
Because it doesn't
We delve into that. But okay. Okay, let's just
We need to get them paid. Yeah.
Get them paid. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got first and second, all in favor of paying these invoices.
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes. Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. All right, now you can bring up, come on up. She's Irish. Oh, yeah, online?
Yeah, she is.
So who would like to speak about the...
I think Tina's going to.
Oh, okay.
Are you there, Tina?
Hi. I just wanted to bring this up. The thought here is that the The structure that Todd made at the corner is actually a time capsule for our community. There's been a number of people who have been very interested in not having it torn down. The new owners at the corner need it to be removed, and a new home needs to be found. And I think that the community, it is a community statue. The Arts Council is interested in supporting the move. I've sent out some thoughts for the park committee and to Todd about the possibility of moving it onto the park in the same area, but not specifically the same area as the Elk was, but in that area. And I think Todd and Mike Nelson are also very interested in helping with organizing the move. And Todd has done some work with Locke to figure out exactly how it could be moved. So that's my part of it. I think it's a great community structure, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to include in our park.
So you're looking at putting it, you'd like to see it be put in the park and then have some kind of fence around. Is that the idea?
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, it's, I think that the town will need to decide exactly how that, you know, what they want there. But if they're willing to allow it to be there with whatever stipulations that you folks want to have put in, then we'll work with that. The Elk was there for 3 years. And it had a sign. That's what was put up, not to climb. So that's Elk. But you know, it's up to the town to, you know, to make the final decisions about what you want around it to protect it or protect the public. We, you know, the idea of having it down there means that kids aren't usually down there necessarily for any event that happens at the town park. So it isn't, you know, right in the space where the public is gathering all the time. It's more of a walkthrough area. So that was what we thought would be the best place. But again, the park committee can recommend whatever, but we're just hoping that we can start the process forward here or make a decision one way or the other, or have you anyway. Todd, well, you're on.
I was gonna say, we got
the park committee here. How do you feel about it?
I do want to remind, only because we've been so awful at this and it's my own fault. Can you go to the mic and state your name?
Oh,
this is how this should be, and I apologize.
Where were you in the night of July 14th?
So over here.
Dragnet.
Just right here. State your name into the microphone. Who are you? Is it on?
Todd Campbell. Is it on?
Yeah.
Now you got to lean up and talk into it.
Oh, for crying out loud. Okay, I'm really going to pass this around for y'all. I was hesitant to be part of this project because it sounded like a way to kill yourself, frankly. It's about a 2,700, 2,800 pound object, and it's 11 foot tall. And if somebody got squashed by it, we'd all be petrified. But it seems like, as I've looked into it, I should say that was the breaking point, is finding that slide of that's the base of this behemoth rock assembly. And what's to notice there is how well the, what we call the legs, are embedded deeply into that tree, and several with several elevations. They're meeting several stones at, you know, at three layers. Gives you a diversity, gives you a strength from many kind of thing, masonry-wise. So that picture is what kind of got me back to thinking that, well, winter's going to end someday here and might be time to develop a project, you know. And then Tina came along. And she renewed my interest in moving this, we call it the rocket, somewhere else. And she thinks that she knows just the place and so forth. And so here we are. We're tooling up, and our tools are getting better and more concise every day. We have a tractor we're going to rent for, I'm not sure if we'll rent it for the entirety of a week, but it comes out of Escalant, and it's got a boom, what did they call it? Boom lift?
Skylift.
And what it is it's a telescope projected way to get things, materials, or people, or whatever, what have you. Probably not people. Don't tell us. And we won't tell you. Anyway, so it's a quick and dirty answer, and it gives us a way to hoist all the ropes that we bind this folly, we call it folly, a thing like this, to bind this folly and to get it elevated and to limp over to where it wants to go next. Take a template off of the coquille stone, inlay stone, recreate that, get the levels just right or the off levels just right, put her down, hopefully just one time. We think when I first started thinking about this project, it seemed like it would it seemed sketchy, but the more we work with it, the better it sounds. It seems like it's gonna maybe do well in another place in town. So I would say there's probably, you know, given the technology we have now and what we've, you know, accumulated, I think there's like a 75% chance or more that we can wheel it from there to here and without breaking it, snapping it, and never do anything but just try, you know.
Well, the worst that can happen is break. I mean, you got to move it anyway. So
that's exactly the part. If you're going to move it, gas it, you know, try to make it work.
That's very neat.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Sorry, you guys. I thought you were just letting Tina talk.
I'll be good enough. Mike Nelson, it's just an opinion. Todd's a phenomenal rock mason, many of you know. He's got projects scattered all throughout town in people's houses. He's donated his work to the town, the bridge over the town, several other objects over there. And I love the rocket ship. It's been an icon for years there. And speaking of safety, we've never had any kids climb up or get hurt, so it's in a good spot. So I think it's a great opportunity for the town to consider taking this as an object. Looking at other towns, it's very common for towns to buy art pieces. For instance, Sugar House up in Salt Lake spent $100,000 on a whale sculpture in the middle of a turnabout. Where my parents live up in Farmington, they build these beautiful iron horses in the roundabout. So it's common for towns to do that, to take that on. So I think it's very proper for you to consider doing that, to helping out and bringing it here. I think it's a good addition. It, like Tina says, there's a time capsule in it as well that a lot of the community put in to it. So thanks for your consideration.
Thanks. Under $5,000 for the
That was going to be my next question.
Okay. So what would the park committee, we've got some reps from the park committee, what do you have feelings on?
That base top, that yeah. Base is it in the ground and solid?
The base you just
show
the
cover
or
whatever you got.
Oh, did you put there?
Yeah.
Okay, one of your questions with the wings on it, is that solid?
Yeah, that one, those are four rocks. Well, there's one.
Okay, so all that would come up in one piece, right?
That's all mortar.
Yeah, this rock is mortar. If it breaks apart, we're screwed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And so I like the beautiful thing is how deep and tall these are where they engage the base break. So you have a good sturdy.
So here's the thing. If you can get that out of the ground, all you have to do is saran wrap that thing and it will stay together. Because a saran wrap
works. We're not going to get the break though.
That's a great idea. You talked about matching it. That's a great idea. Just spread out the whole thing. That was brand wrap. And then cut it out of there and it never come apart.
Good.
It's like some.
So let's decide what we kind of think, and then you guys can get working with. I just want to know if being the park committee
put down there in that area, and Tina mentioned putting the fence around, but I think it would be a good idea because no kids would go up there and say, oh, Jumanji, pull that rock out because it's not mortared in. There's a few rocks that are above that base, they're not mortared in, are they?
It's all mortared. The whole thing's a mortar.
They took a picture of that first.
Pull upright is mortar. What's not ordered is the apron around that perimeter of it. And that's by design. That gives it's an ancient it's very flexible. It'll rise and fall with the ground as it swells and shrinks. That's key. And then between the apron and the monument or the rocket. It is an invisible. It's you don't see it from any direction. It's I call it the manhole cover. It's about a 3-inch is all piece of and it's molded right into plastic so that there's no strength or there's no hack, no tremor. And it's basically what would you call it? It's something that provides weight. And then you want to have that theoretically you want more to pressure, but yeah, I mean there's probably. but a stabilizer, and then you got the four legs kind of fighting
that. That was my concern about kids getting there pulling them rocks out. But if you got,
they're there. They're not, I'll check them all at least the elevation and make sure.
If there's like open up to around, they're reading by the
that's correct. I'm going to just sell us to quality.
I'm going to buy them up and get that piece of the.
It's been in its location for years. And
yeah,
kids have played around.
Okay, because they won't let people come out.
It's a good way to
park. Okay. So you guys are paying to have it moved, correct? So you're just asking us.
No. We're not committed to paying you to do something that we don't know if it's going to break or be right. We want you to buy the rental of our tractor for a week. We want you to help us with purchasing the. We have a giant. What are those called?
They're rigging straps.
Rigging straps. They're bomb proof. They're kind of even a better version than some of that. No, we want you all in, and we want you to take the risk. I'm serious. I mean,
the first thing I heard. So, and it wasn't here, but that's just what I'd heard that they were going to move it. And they were going to ask the town to put it for a place to put it.
That's to keep in mind that the artist is not asking for any money or compensation. So you're getting that art object, which I don't put value. So you're getting that gifted to you, but they are asking for help to begin.
Okay, well, how much do you think that's going to run?
How much? What are we asking? How much?
Yeah, $3,500. That's to pay people. people's bending their backs and everything.
So
and tool, we have, there's tools we have to buy and become a master of and, you know, support. We're going to ease into it.
So you guys don't want to pay for the stuff because you're not sure it's going to work, but.
No, that's not why.
Well, no, but a 75% chance because you, but.
Yeah.
That same. So if we rent everything out and we get straps and everything and then it falls apart, then we're out $3,500 with the tank.
You could look at it that way.
The tank could be built.
So.
Okay.
No, I'm just making sure I'm covering all aspects of if the town's buying $3,500 of it.
Not from a dubious, you know, being booted off of the outpost, and we're gonna have a little parade, you know, once we get her just right, we're gonna have a little parade up the road. Do I have to tell all my secrets?
Yeah,
I'd like to hear it.
You can lift it in the air, then what are you doing?
That's what we're gonna do. That's the best way to keep it together.
To not take and drive up the road with it on the boom.
Yes.
And into the park.
And an answer. Yeah. Yes, you can.
I think we ought to have a park committee meeting on that.
Yeah.
Well, I think she reached out a few times and no one answered her back.
Who did?
Tina.
Oh.
Tina reached out to the park committee and hasn't had a response. So I think that's why she's coming to the town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I could be wrong. I don't want to speak.
Okay. I'm certainly interested in it. But I suggest the park committee presents to the town. Okay, this is approximately what it's going to cost. This is how we're going to do it. I'd like the park committee to decide. We do need a fence around it. I want you guys to meet with the park committee to let them.
The park committee could be involved in the recommendation to the town. That we need to know the cost of what tools are being bought, how they're going to be used, and where it's going for what.
Okay.
All the labor that's going into it is being paid to do what. You know, that.
I actually have it here, but it's premature because I'm tooling up. And so it's kind of in a,
tooling out kind of way.
Yeah, it's tooling up still. So it's premature, but I have some of the factory on paper here.
So what is the time frame?
You tell me.
Is there a time frame that she wants you to remove it?
Oh, I think my hunch is. Well, my hunch is as long as she's allowed us to have it there, that she could probably withstand a couple more weeks, maybe a month. But again, if we kind of have to get off our butts on this and kind of see it through. There's a lot of things that only we know about our town that might enable.
Okay. Oh, wait. You got your hand up?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Does the park committee have a scheduled meeting that we need to get on the agenda for?
We're trying to get one scheduled as soon as possible. Yeah. We've got one member that's out of town till the 11th. And after the 11th, we can meet.
Okay. And today's the 6th. So let's do this. Let's let you guys get together with the park committee, iron out all that stuff, and then the park committee can go back to the town council. We will review it all and make a decision. If you guys are up for it,
yeah. Do you have enough time to think till a May meeting for us to say yay or nay?
And do you
have a month?
Do the point man like should they contact you to let you know when the meeting's going to be?
That'd be lovely. What is a month? Are we having a deadline to observe?
No.
We're just saying. Do you have a deadline? Have you got to know before the 1st of May, or before our meeting in May?
I don't. I can rent the heavy machinery anytime, except for it gets more popular from other contractors as it warms up. So. If I manage to sneak it in the next, 3 weeks or something, I think I have a better chance, or it might be too late already. It'll go around until.
Well, looking at a time frame, so if we can meet towards the end of April.
I mean, April.
Mid-April.
And then have a decision for the town hall the first week of May, and we'll know yes or no by the first week of May. Is that reasonable?
And yes or no to what exactly
the town's going to approve it.
Yeah, I think that we're making fast enough progress that
We're going to move on. We'll leave that with you guys, okay, to get together, and we'll take it from there.
Sure.
And then we'll make a decision in May. You can bring the park committee, can bring and let us know everything, and then we can make a decision. All right.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, Lower Boulder Tumbleweed Burn. We got an email, and then about the burn in Lower Boulder again. They wanted to get on it as quickly as possible. Thank you, guys. And they had a recommendation, and Jimmy had talked to Corey. Are you online?
Mm-mm. I didn't see him.
That little stinker. He told me
I know. He said he would be on.
He did. So I guess you're got it.
All right. So Corey is wondering. He's the one that came to me about it. Last year when we burned down there, I think we had 4 or 5 firefighters that were down there for, I think it was about 6 or 7 hours burning. And so Corey being the town employee, Corey was paid for the for the burning of the fire, for the tumbleweeds and everything down there. So what he suggested to me was anybody that comes down there that's on the fire department and that has to be fully clothed in our gear down there while we're burning, they should be able to receive pay from the fire department's money out of the funding from the fire department itself.
Under training.
Okay.
Which I don't think is a bad idea.
No.
I mean it would take care of the burn down there and really truly be part of training.
Well, make it to where the volunteer firefighters, when we get called out on anything or we go do this, we're taken away from our own work, we're taken away from our families, and we're going down to help, and which we don't mind doing it at the same time.
So are you just doing it on the road right of ways?
Yes.
Okay.
Just road right of ways. We're not going into any properties. We're not doing.
I don't even care if the private property owners throw the tumbleweeds over right into the road. We'll burn
it. The thing of the road right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion. Well, discussion. Steve, how do you feel about it?
Nothing should be done.
Okay.
We're calling it training. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it comes out of their fund. So we have the fund for it.
So I'll make a motion to pass this for firefighter training funds for Lower Boulder Road.
And what are you going to pay him? The rate that you pay Corey?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
All right. What was that? 18 an hour, I think, then, back then.
So I don't know.
Yeah, 18 and up. That's what it was like. Yeah, his will be more this year only because he worked for the town, but I think that's fair. 18 and
okay.
Up.
Okay. Okay. You made a motion. Okay. Steve's going to second.
I'll second it.
Gladys?
Yes. All in favor?
Steve, yes. Jim, yes.
Judy, yes. Okay. Motion passes. Department reports. Gladys?
I really don't have anything to report. We're going to come up with some ideas about mapping the cemetery, being able to sort of,
cool.
Yeah. Works in the library. She came up with some ideas about how we can put it in. We never get the graves straight lines, you know what I mean? But how we can, and maybe if we do it in quarter sections. She found some place online, some other town. So my daughter Elena is going to work with her this summer to try to get it. I think I pretty much have all the information of who's buried up there, and she and I are working on having a record for that.
Anything from tourism or anything like that?
Not really.
Kind of early?
Tourism. Slow in southern Utah last year. Yeah, it wasn't just Boulder, all over southern Utah last year. We're hoping things are going to do better. They have a new quote advertising campaign company. So, yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, we don't see Boulder on Monday Night Football.
They're thinking internationally, we're going to pick up more businesses too. I don't.
We'll see.
I personally think the economy is not as great as we think it is, and people.
Oh, I want to ask you, what about the gate? Are you interested in doing the gate right now? Didn't you need a gate for the cemetery?
Oh, it's being done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. The old fence.
Actually, I'm trying to hobble the fence by because there aren't as many cows in there now. So that's, well, I don't know. There was that group in last year. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I haven't noticed that. Yeah, we need to do some repair work, I think. I'll check and see. The young man did it 1 year for me, kind of tightened up the wires and things. I'll check that out. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll also see if, like, usually we have the young men and young women do the cemetery cleanup sometime in May. I'll check and see if they're still interested in doing that. Yeah.
Before you move on, only because, you know, I'm just so new in this. When we were talking about Todd's thing, right here, Tina Carlson, I don't know why she didn't just talk, Miss Tina, but she wrote the Art Council will be willing to help with the cost. We did not have figures at our last meeting, but can review this and let them know how much we can put in. Just as going forward, it did sound like the Art Council would also help with the cost.
Oh, that's cool.
No, so, I understand the Art Council would pay for it.
Well, see, I talked to them at the store one day. And they were just, they wanted to keep it, but they wanted to know if maybe the town would allow them to put it in the park. So they were going to move it. So that's what I heard from work. So things have changed a little bit. But, and it's okay, I get it. All right, so Steve.
Pretty much everything with the Parks Committee has been addressed throughout the meeting. 4th of July committee, we have two people who've accepted. Good senior moment. Barbara Van Quill from the church. Heaton.
Susan David Heaton.
Susan Heaton from businesses.
Oh.
We'll get somebody from the Parks Committee and then two more.
Okay, you might even run by the Giles again, see if they would be interested in helping because they were just amazing.
Not sure if they're back yet. I'm thinking of that.
Yeah, I don't think they are. So. Okay, cool. All right, is that it?
That's it.
Okay, Jim.
Okay, roads. I already said the subdivision road got hammered this winter. We're going to have to try to figure out something that the subdivision's up there. Low builders cut the corner when the snow plowed and cleared all those snow off the corner.
Is that going in?
Going in. Yeah, cut the corner and completely flattened the road sign. I think I'm going to see if Corey can go up there and just pull it back up, straighten it back up. And
if you can't, the poles are down in my place.
Okay, and then we'll just hammer out, let's see if we can hammer out the green slates or the roadside names again, but it's pretty tanked. Let's see. And then I got to get a hold of Bradley Best. He told me to give him a holler for the dump whenever all of the snow was gone so he could actually get his equipment in here so we can start removing some of the stuff for the dump.
Nice.
Let's see. I think it's next month on the 5th or 4th. The fire department's going to have a training up to the dump where we are using the new jaws of life and the new extrication equipment that we received for the grant money. We're going to be up there cutting apart cars up to the dump. So if anybody wants to see how the extrication equipment actually works. So I'll find out the for sure day and I'll have Corey send out a message. So let's see. Other than that, we were pretty quiet for calls for fire department, ambulance, everything like that. So
that's good news.
Yeah.
That's always good news. Well, it looks like most of the tweet committee left. I was going to That it?
Yep.
Okay. Jess, you got anything?
I have all Elizabeth's.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so Elizabeth said for the Planning Commission, the Planning Commission is working with Nino's to clarify the application process for conditional use permits. And
I found this on the web.
That's rude. So helpful. She's so helpful. For conditional use permits and clean up inconsistencies and clarification within the ordinances, the Planning Commission hopes to present a report to the town council in the next few months on recommended changes to be made before the process of Planning Commission hearings and the official passing off of recommendations to the town council. And then a guest ranch application will be reviewed at the next Planning Commission meeting, which April already said. She said for the Boulder Arts Council, the town currently has the Utah Art and Museum Traveling Exhibit, What Would You Do?, utilizing Mary Oliver's poem, The Summer. A journal making workshop is scheduled for Saturday, April 22nd from 1 to 4 p.m. Participants must register online at boulderartscouncil.com. In celebration of National Poetry Month, the Boulder Arts Council is posting a poem a day on the pegboard. Please submit your poem to be shared with the community by emailing boulderartscouncil@gmail.com. And then Garfield School District, the Garfield County School District travels for its monthly board meetings. Boulder Elementary School will host on Thursday, April 20th at 5 o'clock. So it's the one time of year, I think, that it's actually in Boulder. So if you want to go, go. The library hours remain 11 to 1 on Wednesday and 10 to noon on Saturday.
Cool. Well, I didn't get to the, did you have anything by yourself though? Nothing? Anything? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a department.
I didn't get to the Garfield Planning Commission. I was shoveling off the snow on our porch. So I called to find out if they had a quorum. He said they did. I said, I won't be there. So I don't have that to report. And I was actually going to make this last tree committee meeting, but they had, with the snow, they changed it Friday and I got to work, had to work, so I couldn't go. But this is what they've got, Arbor Day coming up on April 28th. And then they've got Ryan Johnson, the Tree City rep from DNR, will give an official training in doing a street tree assessment that meets the standard of the ordinance. So that's all I have on that.
I have pretty simple. Sorry, just, you know, this thing over here when people
okay. Write.
There's Peg's suggestions. I think this has to do with Jimmy's. Yes. I need to read it all out. Everyone can read.
I can't see it.
I'll read it.
Suggest approaching the county for funding assistance from pedestrian path if it gets approved.
Like, so that the town doesn't actually have to pay the whole
$38,000
to ask the county.
And maybe, are they going to allow work in kind or anything like that for whoever?
For the what?
Work in kind, you know what I mean? Whoever gets the bid, you know what I mean? So
volunteers.
Yeah, that our time counts towards some of that money. I don't know. You know, like I'm thinking, okay, so maybe the county's willing to furnish some equipment. I don't know. Of course, it probably depends on who gets the bid. Maybe they're not.
If gets the bid, I don't know if the county's going to be furnishing any equipment.
Yeah, okay.
No, we can ask about the money.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
No, they like it.
Yeah, I have the radio. I think they have no problem.
Jimmy Corey is on now.
Oh, Corey, welcome to the party. Where you been?
All right. Well, I'm trying to get us out of here before 10. Look, guys,
approval for the February and March checks.
Yeah, that's easy. That's next. All right. So, does anybody have any questions about him?
Sure.
Thanks for coming.
Jealous.
Okay, so let's go with February 1st. Let's look at the February chat. Oh, thank you, Randy. Yes. Okay, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.
I'm kidding.
All right. Any questions?
Can we approve them both at the same time? We have to do two different.
No, we need to do them both in separate.
Do them separate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I make a motion to accept February's text.
Second.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes. Jen, yes.
Steve, yes. Okay. March.
I'll make a motion to accept the text for March.
Second.
All in favor?
Gladys, yes.
Steve, yes. Jim, yes.
Steve, yes. Okay, check through.
Can I ask a question? Would it help any if, along with checks approved, we also have on that report money received? So, like when we know when
that
we get
brilliant.
Road money, when we know when we get fire money,
or emergency money,
or emergent,
right?
So, you know what I mean?
Well, literally, we're supposed to have start putting together a monthly report on that kind of stuff.
Okay.
On reconciliation. And that will be in there. If we do a reconciliation, we can just say, this is what we have, this is what we spent, this is what came in.
Perfect.
That kind of stuff.
Do you, are you okay with just a number? Like, or do you want it broken out like this? Like, what's the preference?
If it comes in from like emergency funds, but emergency funds for the state of Utah or from federal funds.
And,
that way we know exactly at least where the money's coming from.
Perfect. And Polaris will really help you with putting that reconciliation report together, I believe. It's because it all comes off there anyway. You know, if we get up to date on everything and everything's in, you just print out a report and it basically shows that stuff. So you'll be okay with that. All right, final comments.
Okay. This is me again.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Does anybody know how to look up the codification stuff and that? I'm just wondering if Peg would be willing to maybe one afternoon have a training. Anybody from the town council or anybody from the community who needs to come and see how to do it.
Wait, what did you? I'm sorry.
On the codification thing, how you can look.
Yes.
When they first did it, I did it. I don't know now how what I did.
There, that girl is still. Peg has that up. You can go in and listen to her and she'll tell you how to do it again.
Go right back into
There's
a training class for it.
Okay, so what do I look at in the first place?
Okay, Gladys, I'm happy to do a training if you want me to do that. But if you want a kind of a quick dirty how to get into it, you go to a website, go to documents, then down to ordinances. And there's like a paragraph of text, and then there's a link to American Legal. So the ordinances are not officially on our website per se, they're on American Legal's website. So the link takes you off, it's just like the county, it's exactly like the county, how they're organized. You go in to look for an ordinance and you click and it takes you to American Legal. So once you're in American Legal, then this video that's on our website tells you, it's about a 45 minute video as I recall, and she steps through how to search for words, for phrases, how to set up just a free account so you can log in and save bookmarks and notes and highlighting and so on and so forth. So it's
video.
It's all, I would do nothing more than just, I don't know more than what she told me to on that video, but so you can look at the video, or if you want to have a session where people can sit down and do it on their machines and we all do it together and practice with some real words, I'm happy to do that.
Okay, let me see if there's enough interest. Sometimes if I do it like that, then I can figure it out. But let me, if you're willing to do it, Peg, I'll check and see if there's other interest. If not, I'll try to do them on my own and call you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, let's take the final public comments. Anybody on Zoom? Okay. Anybody in the audience?
The thing that I put in chat was actually my intention of a final public comment. I just I listen to the county commission meetings, and they're always pretty, you know, happy to give money out to the communities for this and that project. And Boulder hasn't really requested too much other than some fire equipment, you know, long needed fire equipment over the past several years. So I'm just thinking it's a worthwhile project if it gets passed, and the county would probably be happy to chip in a significant chunk of change.
Jerry sent me a message and said, could I help you? So I said, you'll be hearing from me.
It's an awesome idea, Meg.
Yeah. Okay, very good. So up and coming business for May. What do you have down, Jess?
Just the Tree City complaint will be moved to May. Then also the rocket ship conversation after they talk to the park. And then the Boulder Path presentation will actually be a public hearing with a vote.
With a vote.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. And then because we pushed the committee's things until June.
Yeah, those two things went to June.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, that's about where we're at for.
Okay, very good. Well,
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 We are adjourned. And we did it before 10 o'clock.
I mean, it's like way before 10 o'clock.
Don't forget me, Jerry.
I will.
I will hurry.
I need all these things.